podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
For an opportunity to be reminded of the passion that we have for our family. You know, sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. Sometimes we just kind of roll along with life. And every now and then, God provides us with a wake-up call. A wake-up call to remind us of just what really matters, what really is precious in this world. I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Our passage of Scripture today is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. That's page 803 in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word this morning, Lord, and I pray that you might direct our attention to your throne today. And Father, that you might fill us with your spirit and help us, Lord, to be moved. Father, not just to feel you internally, not just to know you in our mind, but Father, to truly serve you through our actions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's zoom in on verse 11, because verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And those are the words I want to highlight, zeal and fervor in serving the Lord. I mean, whatever happened to Christian zeal, Christian fervor, passion for God? It seems like we have a passion for all sorts of things in this world, but what about our passion for the things of the Lord? Our culture teaches us to be passionate about politics, to be passionate about sports, to be passionate about money, to be passionate about success, to be passionate about our health, to be passionate about movies and entertainment and celebrities. Just look at the trending topics on the internet each day. If you look at your Facebook page, if you have one, and I understand if you don't fully, but if you have one, on the right side of that Facebook page, there are trending topics. Basically, it tells you what people are interested in that are across the Facebook platform. And I looked at it this morning. You know, Sunday morning, we're coming together to worship. I wonder what the trending topics are, right? Well, this morning, it's about Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes. Don't tell me what's going on there. Somebody might know what's going on there. I really am not sure what is happening. You can Google it later if you're interested. And I'm not really even sure who those people are entirely. I think I know. But then there's also something about Star Wars Episode 8. And somebody may have leaked the title to the movie. This was trending, the number two trending topic on all of Facebook. This is exciting, right? Then there was a story about Franklin Gutierrez, a baseball player who hit a 473-foot home run. Yeah, everybody wanted to hear about that this morning. And then also David Hasselhoff has less than $4,000 left in the bank. And I don't know. These were the top four trending topics this morning, the things that people are passionate about and interested in. Right, you wake up in the morning, you get your coffee, you sit in front of your computer, and you read the stories, and that's what you're interested in. That's how you start your day. That is what interests us in our day and age. But what about our own lives? Do we live in a spectator society where the things that interest us the most are the lives of others? The rich, the famous, the athletes, those on television, reality shows? And have we forgotten about our own lives and what they mean to us? Are we just kind of living on the sidelines, watching mammoth home runs and cheering on athletes because of touchdowns and because of Olympic medals, while our own lives are just kind of moving along? You know, because God only gives us really so many hours on the face of this planet. What are we spending them doing? Where is our passion for life? Where is our zeal and our fervor for serving the Lord, as this passage says? Are we content with just living lukewarm lives? You know what the Lord says about those who are lukewarm? He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. In fact, Francis Chan has talked about the fact that we use the term lukewarm Christian. He says, I'm not sure that you can be lukewarm and be a Christian at the same time. But are we content with just living lukewarm lives? This morning, we're talking about dealing with apathy, as we have talked about many different areas of life where, as we live in this world, God causes us to have to deal with some things. One of the things that we face in our lifetime is apathy. Now, what is apathy? Let me give you three words that sometimes we confuse: sympathy, empathy, and apathy, right? They both have the root word pathos, which means feeling, to feel. Now, sympathy means that we feel together. That S-Y-M at the beginning of the word means together. So we feel together with someone. So you might be able to talk to Ashley and say, you know, I feel for you after hearing about your car crash and everything that's happened here with your family, the way that God protected. I feel that together with you. It's as if I've experienced myself emotionally, right? Now, empathy means to feel in with someone. And the word E-M at the beginning of that means in, to feel in. So you can actually say, if you have empathy for someone, that I know exactly how you feel, right? I have an interest in what has happened. I have been there personally myself. I don't just feel together with you. I feel in you. I understand completely how you feel because I have been there. So empathy is a little stronger than sympathy. But apathy, the A on the beginning of that word apathy means no or not. Apathy simply means to feel nothing. To feel nothing. In other words, to say, I couldn't care less. Right? That's what apathy is. I don't care less about life anymore. I don't care about doing anything, about being anything. It means that you have a lack of passion, a lack of motivation. You're just kind of tired and bored. Do nothing. And the only person that you're serving is yourself. Because apathy can affect your behavior in such a way that you can't even complete your daily activities in life. You can't even think about what you should do next because you have this lack of motivation to complete or to accomplish anything. You have no vision. You have no goal. You have no plan. You wake up in the morning with your cup of coffee and you turn on the internet and you see what's happening in other people's lives, what stories are important that day in other people's lives. And you don't have a plan for yourself that day. You don't know what you're going to do. And honestly, you don't care what you're going to do either. That is a problem. It's apathy. And then we have low energy to go along with that. And our emotions, our motivation, and our willingness to act are lower. They're diminished. Our activities and the events that would normally interest us, they don't create any response in us whatsoever. And apathetic people express this disinterest in many aspects of their life. Even the most important aspects of their life, they come to the point where they just don't care anymore. And they're usually indifferent when they meet new people. They don't want to try new things. They show no interest in other people or addressing any personal problems or concerns. Their facial expressions don't change. They just kind of monotone. They live their life monotone. They exhibit a lack of effort in anything. You know, you ask them to help you with something and they find a way to weasel their way out. Even though you know for sure they're not doing anything that day, They just find a way not to be involved. They tend to spend more time in activities by themselves. And if you continue a life of apathy, it's impossible for you to maintain meaningful relationships with the people around you in that type of state. And when an apathetic person faces a hurdle, they turn around and say things like, whatever, whatever, who cares? I wasn't gonna go in that direction anyway. But when a passionate and zealous and fervent person faces a hurdle, they forge ahead and they say, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. So let's take a little bit of a closer look at this verse. There are three statements in the verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. The three statements, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And if we were to put these in the way that they are written in the Greek language, in the order that these words are given to us in the original language, the first statement would be in the diligence, not lazy. This is how Paul tells us to be. In the diligence, not lazy. Now, we don't talk that way. Diligence isn't a verb, right? Diligence is not, we don't say in the diligence. But at the same time, we understand what he means. In your diligence, do not be lazy. So we have throughout Scripture men like Elijah, right, who we just sang about, who stood up for God when it wasn't a popular thing, right? When the queen Jezebel was out to kill him, when all of the people were worshiping another god, Elijah stood up for the one true God. We have men like David who stepped out onto a battlefield all by himself to face a giant, because nobody in all of the army of Israel would put their neck on the line. They were all sitting back, apathetic, and could care less about what God wanted for them. And this one young man stepped forward with a slingshot and said, I'll take him on. That's the difference between zeal, fervor, and apathy. Or men like Daniel, who continued to pray to the Most High God, not fearing the fact that there may be a lion's den in his future. These guys were not content to sit on the sidelines and watch somebody else obey the Lord. They realized that it was for them to obey the Lord, and they took matters into their own hands. They weren't lazy. They weren't idle in their walk with the Lord. So in the diligence, not lazy. The second part of this verse, if we were to translate it from the original, it would be in the spirit, hot. That word fervent means hot. So in your spirit, you feel a heat, right? To use a political term of this day, you feel the burn, but not that kind of burn, okay? But a spiritual burn, a fervor, a heat, not lukewarmness. Not like those people in the book of Revelation who had lost their first love. But instead, deep down in your spirit, you burn for God. You can feel it internally. Your greatest desire in all of life is to see God be glorified, to see His name be made known, to see His will to be done in this world, but first in your life. And you are a person after God's own heart. Your spirit beats along with the Holy Spirit, and your spiritual fuel burns bright and hot within you. So in the diligence, not lazy, in the spirit, hot. And the last part of that verse would be the Lord serving. The Lord serving. Not serving yourself, not serving the world, not serving anyone else's interests but God's. Apathy is waking up each morning and asking the question, what do I feel like doing today? What do I feel like doing today? What would make me happy? What would make me feel safe today? What would be a good thing for me? Zeal and fervor for the Lord requires that we wake up each morning and ask, what would the Lord have me to do with my time today? What would make God happy today? What risk can I take for Him today to serve Him and not to serve myself? So the life of apathy is boring. It's boring. Because you just keep doing the same thing over and over again with no passion or feeling behind it. But the life of zeal and fervor is an adventure. because you don't know from one day to the next where God might lead you and how he might direct you. How do we get apathetic in the first place? Where does that come from? Well, one, of course, is our sin nature. Right? The sin nature that we were born with, the sin nature that grows within us when we walk and wander away from the Lord, that sin nature causes us to get lazy, to lose our zeal and our fervor and our passion for God, to get selfish. But also we become apathetic because we are surrounded in this world by others who are apathetic and we follow their example. This is how we live our lives. And there are not enough good examples around of people with zeal and fervor and passion for the Lord. So in looking at this message this morning, I decided to take these three statements from Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and take them backwards. Take them backwards. How do we deal with apathy? Well, the first way to deal with apathy is to enthrone your Lord. Enthrone your Lord, okay? You need to decide who your Lord is. That's where it starts. Who sits on the throne of my life? Who are you serving with your life? See, there are plenty of lords to choose from in this world. There are plenty of things that you can place on the throne of your life. But you demonstrate who the Lord really is in your life by the way that you choose to live your life. I can tell by looking at your life, and you can tell by looking at my life, who the real Lord is. And should you choose to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not have room for apathy. Apathy comes when we make ourselves and our leisure and our laziness our Lord. When we have our little pity party and we feel bad about ourselves and we don't like the way that things are going in our life and we're just going to sit on the sidelines and maybe live through somebody else, that's not putting our Lord God on the throne of our lives. So first, enthrone your Lord. That really is the end of this passage of Scripture where it says that we need to serve the Lord. But second, examine your spirit. Now, this is that middle portion of verse 11 where it says that our spirit needs to be hot. Keep your spiritual fervor. Examine your spirit. We need to take our temperature, right, from time to time. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? See, if Jesus is your Lord, then the Word of God, when you hear it, will create within your spirit a passion to know Him, to obey Him, and then to do His will. This will take place within you. You will see the needs of people around you, and you will burn inside for them. Right? So we have two great examples here in our congregation this morning. We have some folks who have given their life to children in Hawaii, and they have said, we are going to give our lives to them and be passionate about reaching boys and girls for Jesus in the Hawaiian Islands, that is our desire. And they have a passion for that. They have a spirit for that, right? And then we have Nathan, who shared with us this morning, who he has a desire and a passion inwardly that God has given to him to reach college students in Rhode Island where people have walked away from Christianity. It's no longer important to them. Some of them don't know who God is. And Nathan has said, I'm going to live there, and I'm going to share my life with others and love them even though they're different from me. And so we have these great examples right here in our midst. And many more examples, because I could name some folks in our church who have the Spirit burning within them. Examine your spirit. What excites you in life? I remember the time in Scripture where the disciples of Jesus, after Jesus had passed away, were walking along the road and Jesus met with them. And Jesus sat down with them and broke bread with them and shared the Word of God with them. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? Folks, that is where it's at. Opening the Word of God, reading what God has to say, and feeling Him burn in your spirit, filling you with a passion and a drive and a desire to do His will. So when was the last time you heard the Word of God and your spirit burned within you with zeal and fervor? Unfortunately, when we feel the burn but refuse to stoke it and act on it, then we become calloused and we end up being quenched in our spirit. And the more we do this, the less we feel God moving in our spirit. We need a fresh fire. We need a new spark of the Spirit. We need His Word to touch us on a deeper level as if for the first time. And then this fervent spirit will lead us to move out. Third, escalate your action. Because that emotional feeling we get, you know, like even when we sing Days of Elijah, that song gets me going. I don't know what it is about the song. Whoever wrote that put some great words and thoughts together along with great music, and you sing it and you just feel it inside, right? These are the days of Elijah. There's no God like Jehovah. And it's kind of like you're a cheerleading chant, right? You get to the end of it and you're like, you feel that spirit inside of you. But you know, if you just turn away and walk out and say, wow, that's a great song, I love that song, and it doesn't lead you to any action, well, what good is that spirit at all? Except to get us riled up for no reason. And what I'm telling you is that type of excitement that is not followed by action leads to callousness and apathy, where we don't even feel it at all anymore. We need to escalate our action, to enthrone Jesus, to examine your spirit, to feel the Spirit, and then to step out in faith and do whatever it is He's called you to do, to obey Him, to serve Him, to use the gifts that God has given to you, to get off the sidelines and stop watching someone else's scripted reality and create your own reality for God. Just do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Step out and be the person He's called you to be. Now, lately, I've had a lot of people ask me a question about how I have lost weight. Okay? Some of you have asked me that question. I got two text messages last night from friends who know me who said, "Are you okay, Jack? I saw a picture of you and you don't look well." Right? And I've had some of you, you know, Sunday by Sunday, walk out and say, you know, you better nail your feet to the ground because you're going to blow away or something like that. Now, I don't want to spend my time this morning talking about weight loss because there is nothing more boring than somebody prattling on and on about how they lost weight, right? But since you have asked me time and time again, I want to use this as an opportunity to demonstrate something about apathy, right? Interesting thing is this, that I'm a little bit embarrassed by the fact that I've lost weight because, see, I had to have put the weight on first in order to have lost it, right? And I don't like that fact. I don't like talking about that. In fact, nobody came up to me while I was putting weight on saying, "Hey, Jack, you're looking large, my friend, you know? Tell me your secret for putting on those pounds, buddy. What have you been eating?" You know, that nobody asked me those questions when I was putting on weight. They only asked me the question now. So I'll share a few things with you. First of all, here's how I did it. I leveraged information into motivation. What I mean by that is I got a wake-up call, first of all. I got a wake-up call from my doctor, right? And my doctor showed me the prescriptions that he was about to put me on. He showed me my blood tests and what was going wrong. He showed me what my future looked like, and then, stupid me, I went home and Googled all that stuff on the internet and found out just how awful some of this stuff was and just how short my life was going to be. And I said, you know what? I want to give myself a chance to live a little bit longer. I know God's in charge of that. He can take us any moment, and I'm ready. But if it's up to me, I'd like to give myself a chance maybe to live a little bit longer. So I got this wake-up call from the doctor. Now, here's the deal. I didn't need anybody to tell me how to lose weight, right? I know how to do that. I've read books and articles and, you know, TV shows, and I've got common sense. I already know how to do that. All that information was here. What happened was, during that wake-up call, that information went from here to here in my heart, and I began to feel that burn in my spirit. Like, I got to do something about this, right? And then eventually, I took what I knew and I put it into gear, and I actually started moving, and I actually started heeding all of that advice that I had been given, and I leveraged the information into motivation. Second thing I did was I exchanged my passions. I exchanged food passion for fitness passion, right? And that's the boring part. And you don't want to hear about all that because it's just discipline. But rather than planning the next meal, I started to plan the next activity. What I'm going to do? I'm going to go out for a walk, something like that. I started to crave health instead of craving food. I wanted to be in shape and to be healthy more than I wanted the next meal. And I began to work on that. And so it was a change of heart and a change of mind. I exchanged one passion for another. I think this will help us, right, with our apathy, spiritually speaking, too, to exchange our passions, right? Our passion for knowing what's happening in the world of celebrities and sports can be exchanged for a passion for knowing what God would have us to do in our lives, to spend more time in His Word, to exchange our passions. And the last thing I would share with you is that I planted each day for tomorrow's harvest. What I mean by that was I started to think future instead of now. When I get in trouble is when I think of now, right? I think about this wonderful bucket of fried chicken that is waiting me right down the road. You know, I think about the food that I can consume and eat and enjoy. And I think about those things and I start to get tunnel vision and I forget about the big picture and I forget about tomorrow. But what I've been able to do is think about what I would like for my body to look like rather than what I would like my next meal to taste like, and to crave that more. So if you plant good seeds, you will sow a good harvest. It's a scriptural principle. And this is true of our lives spiritually as well, right? That if we are apathetic about what we do with our lives spiritually, then we're going to lose. We're going to lose spiritually. We're not going to experience any victory at all. But if we allow God to fill our minds with His knowledge, our hearts with His Spirit, and then to step out in action, to escalate our action, God can do amazing things. And it will be much more powerful than just losing some weight. It will be about serving Him and doing His will. Here's something we need to know about apathy. Apathy seems like you're just not choosing, right? I feel lazy today. I don't want to make any choices. I don't want to make any decisions. So I'm just not going to do anything. And we think that our apathy is just a matter of not choosing. But the fact is, actually, apathy is a choice. It is a choice to move in the wrong direction. And we need to recognize it as such. If I choose apathy over zeal and fervor for serving the Lord, then I'm choosing to sin and walk away from God. That's just the way it is. It's a choice to be lukewarm. It's a choice to ignore God's will. It's a choice to walk away from my first love. It's a choice to do my own thing. So I want to challenge you this morning to deal with your apathy. Maybe you experience this from time to time. No? I know I do. We all do. We get lazy sometimes. We get so plugged into the things of this world that we forget what God would have us to do and who God wants us to be and all the opportunities that are out there to serve Him. We just let them fall by the wayside because we're tired. We're bored, right? We're lazy. We're sick of this world. And so we just sit on the sidelines. I want to encourage you this morning, first of all, to make sure that Jesus Christ is the one that's sitting on the throne of your life, to examine your spirit and to allow His Word and the truth of who He is to create that burn once again in your heart for Him, and then to step out in response to who He is and do His will. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here. Lord, we want Quaker Gap Baptist Church to be a church that is known for its love for You, for its passion for doing Your will. We want this church to be known as the church that reaches out in Jesus' name. Father, we want to be the church that risks to love those in our community who are less than lovely. Father, those who are broken, those who are hurting. We want to be the arms, the hands, the feet of Jesus Christ in this community. And Lord, we know that we cannot do that apart from a revival of the Spirit. Father, if we are apathetic about our lives and about our walk with you and about our community, Lord, then we, Father, have lost the battle. But Father, you have chosen us to be victorious. You are the God who has chosen us to be great overcomers, Lord, that you have already won the victory in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you might once again help us, Lord, to enthrone you and serve you and, Father, be filled with your spirit and the passion and the zeal and fervor, that you would place that once again in our belly, Lord, that we would desire and then step out to obey you. Lord, when you call us, help us to see what you want from us and help us to step out and do it. I thank you again for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. I pray that you would work in each one's life, using each one's gift to stoke the spirit within, Father, that we might see you and know you and experience you in our lifetime. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.